Now then, we're going to look together at this story that Jesus told. Now, I know, because I've been doing this kind of thing for a long, long time, that I can do a lot of preparation. I can pray a lot about what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. And guess what? Some people don't listen. And some people don't get the message. And you know, it encouraged me as I looked together at this story that was just read for us by Sean, that Jesus had exactly the same problem. He'd just been teaching people. He'd been telling them about all kinds of huge and important things. Things like hypocrisy and how not to be a hypocrite. Things like hell. Things like the unforgivable sin. Yet there was someone in front of him who wasn't listening. And as soon as they got a chance, they jumped in and they said to Jesus, "Jesus, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Now Jesus, from his point of view, he was, you know, just said to him, "Well, who am I to decide who should share out your wealth or your inheritance?" And that might seem not a very loving thing to say. But you know, Jesus said that to that man because he realized the man had a bigger problem, a more important problem that needed to be dealt with. And we're going to think about that because Jesus went on to tell a story, a parable. Okay, and it's important that we get the lesson and get the message from this particular parable. He told the story of a rich farmer who'd had a wonderful year. The sun had shone at the right time, the rain had fallen at the right time, and he had a bumper crops. So much so that he didn't have any room to store it. No room in any of his barns. So he thought to himself, "I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns." And what he did was he got richer and richer. And here he is, later on, celebrating with all his mates. See, the profits are going up and up and up. Lots of rich food. He's really enjoying himself. Jesus carried on, though, and he said, "But that very night, God required his soul of him." He died in the night. Oh, scary. And Jesus was trying to make a very important point through this rich fool, because if you read your Bible, you'll find that that's how he's described. He's described as a rich fool. And he got several things wrong. And we can be in danger of getting the same things wrong, making the same mistakes. So let's just think about the mistakes that this guy made. And there were five of them, okay? First of all, he remembered only himself. If you go home and read through that story by yourself, you'll find that on no less than 11 occasions, he uses the word "I" or "my." So to this guy, he was all that mattered. That's all that mattered to him. Now, who knows a woman called Michelle Obama? Not personally. But who can tell? Who's Michelle Obama? Who's who's Barack Obama? He's that Irish president, isn't he? Yeah, he just missed out the wee apostrophe. O'Bama. That's right, he is. He's from Ireland. Those of you who are YouTube, go and look. Barack Obama is Irish. There's a song that explains it all. But anyway, I'm getting off the track here. Michelle Obama is Barack Obama's wife, right? And she's known as the First Lady in the United States. Isn't that what they call the president's wife, the First Lady? Well, I was reading this week of another First Lady, another president's wife. Her name was Eleanor Roosevelt. And she was known for this. She could speak for 2.5 hours without talking about herself. Isn't that amazing? 2.5 hours without talking about herself. Here's another woman that you might have heard of. Elizabeth Taylor. Who's heard of Elizabeth Taylor? All us grown-ups have heard of Elizabeth Taylor, haven't we? Yes, sorry, we're a bit of other kids. And it was said of her that she couldn't talk for 2 minutes without talking about herself. She was a bit like this guy. It was all about him. He thought he was the only guy that mattered. That was the first mistake he made. Now, what about the second mistake? He remembered this world, or the world. Now, look at that lovely, cute picture. I'm warm, you're not. That's all that matters. That really appealed to me. Yeah? This guy made the mistake of thinking that all that mattered was money, or wealth, or comfort. The Rolling Stones, in the 60s, I'm going back a bit, I'm showing my age here. That's a long while ago when I was born. They made £200 million. £200 million. And they blew it all. And one day, One of them was in a restaurant being asked by a reporter about, you know, how he was enjoying life. And he sort of said, well, here I am in this wonderful, very posh, expensive restaurant. I'm enjoying good food. I'm drinking lots of wonderful wine. And that's all that matters. That's what he said. That's all that matters. Now, my challenge to you is this. Is that all that matters? Is it all about good food? Is it all about having money? Is it all about possessions? Is it all about, you know, having the latest gadget? This guy made the mistake of thinking that it was just all about this world, and he didn't think about what happens when he goes into the next world. And we've got to think about that when we live in this world, yeah? Okay, so that was the second mistake he made. What about the third mistake? And here's my favorite picture. He forgot his neighbors. Isn't that a brilliant picture? Couldn't you just love a cat like that? I generally don't like cats, but I could live with that cat. There he is, grasping his basketball. It's all mine. Ha ha! And that's what this guy was like. He thought it was all his, and he thought he was going to keep it. And he forgot certain very important things. Now, just think about it. As he was storing up all that food in his barns, there will have been people maybe living next door, or maybe in the village down the road, or certainly within a few miles, who would have nothing to eat. And all he thought about was himself. He forgot about his neighbor. Now, if you read through the Bible, what you find is that God is very caring and loving towards people who are in need. And he asks those who love him to make sure that they provide for others. In fact, in the New Testament, we're told that the reason we are to work is not just to earn money for us, but so that we can be kind to other people. Do you know that? That's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Why do we have a job? Not just so that we can provide for our own needs, not just so that I can have the latest iPhone 4 and the latest 50-inch plasma TV screen, but so that I can provide for other people. That's what God would have us do. And this guy forgot that. Now, he forgot something else that's very important. Has my doofer died? Oh, no, it hasn't. He forgot time. He forgot time. Now, what's happening in that picture? Can you see it? This lovely, handsome young chap on this side, just like me. And then as you move along, you know, what happens? Your face gets all baggy, doesn't it? My kids would say to me, you're growing extra skin. Growing extra skin, right? But we get older, don't we? And this guy, and eventually, one day, we're going to die. And this guy forgot about that. And that's a very important lesson for us to think about when we're young, okay? Because we think we're going to live forever. Who's heard of Narnia? We've all heard of Narnia, haven't we? Who's heard of Prince Caspian? You know, C.S. Lewis, who wrote those stories, also wrote a very interesting little book, because he had a brilliant imagination, because he was from Belfast. True, it is. He had a brilliant imagination, right? And he wrote this story imagining a senior devil and a junior devil talking about how they were going to make us human beings fall and ignore God. And I read a story this week about how that conversation might have went. A junior devil says to a senior devil, well, this is how I'm going to, you know, convince all these people not to follow you. I'm going to tell them there's no God. And the senior devil said, that's never going to work, because in their hearts, they know there is. And then the second one came along, the second apprentice, and he said to the chief, he said, well, I tell you what, I'll tell them there's no hell. And the senior devil sort of said, well, that's not going to work either, because there's so many bad things, there's so much suffering in the world that they know that, you know, certainly they're not going to believe that. And then the third apprentice came along, and he said to his boss, he said, I know what I'll do. I can tell them that there's no hurry. And the senior devil said, go and do it. You'll catch millions of them in that way. There's no hurry. What is the most dangerous word in the English language? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. And this guy made the mistake of thinking that he had tomorrow, but he didn't, okay? And the final and the most serious thing is this. He forgot God. He forgot God. Let me just read what was said of him. Jesus said of him that he was not rich towards God. The Bible says that a fool, Psalm 14:1, is someone who says there is no God. And we automatically think atheist. We automatically think Richard Dawkins. We automatically think Christopher Hitchens, okay? But that's not what he meant. The fool is someone who lives as if there is no God. Who lives as if there is no God. And that's what this guy was. He lived as if God wasn't there. And Jesus said, now you've not got to be like this guy. You've got to be rich towards God. Now, does that mean that you give all your money to God? Well, no, it doesn't. What it means is this. You need to acknowledge God in your life. You need to put Jesus first in your life. Let me just summarize it like this. A, B, C, and L. I couldn't get it all. I couldn't get a word D, you know, that would fit. But A, B, C, we'll remember, won't we? Admit, first of all, what do we need to admit? We need to admit that God is the one who gives us everything that we are and everything that we have. And that our tendency is to be selfish. Like the first thing we saw, it's all about me. That little word sin has huge implications. In the middle letter is I. And sin is where I say, it's what I want. It's how I want to live. Okay? And we've got to admit that that offends God. And that will separate us from God. We'll be like this rich fool if we carry on like that. So then we need, secondly, to believe. We need to believe in Jesus. Now, what do we need to believe about Jesus? Well, we need to believe what we've been singing this morning. That Jesus is both God and man. That he came into this world and he lived a perfect life. Everything that God says in the Bible, Jesus did perfectly. He never did anything wrong, never thought anything wrong. And then he went to the cross and he died for my sin. He died so that the sin that I commit, the sin that anyone who trusts him commits, can be paid for fully and completely. And we need to believe that Jesus came not just to be a good teacher, not just to be a wonderful example, but Jesus died for me. He came into this world for me. And I need to believe him, and I need to trust him, and then I need to commit my life to him. You've been singing, Jesus is Lord. We've sung about, you know, every knee will bow before Jesus. That means that he is the king, and we're called to be his subjects. We're called to follow him. We're called to trust him. Yeah? So it's important that we obey our officers in Boys' Brigade and Girls' Brigade. It's important that we obey our mums and dads. But all of us, mums and dads and officers in Boys' Brigade, are under God's authority, under the rule of Jesus. And we're called to be loyal to him all of our lives. And then we can live. We can enjoy life. We can acknowledge God in all the things that we do. All those wonderful creative and sporting things that you can accomplish through years, even when you're doing your Mexican hat dance. You can thank God for the ability to do that. So we're not to be like this guy who was a rich fool. And there are lots and lots of people in our society who are like that. They think that it's all about success. It's all about fulfilling my ambitions. It's all about, you know, being satisfied. But ultimately, the only thing that matters is knowing God, being rich toward him, knowing that you're forgiven. And you're freely forgiven. You know, lots of people work really hard to be good. And it's a waste of time. Because we can never be good enough to please God. Only Jesus is good enough to please God. And all we need to do is trust him. And follow him. And then we can live life to the full. And enjoy all of life. And our prayer would be that all of us would do that. That we'd admit we've sinned, that we're not perfect, that we believe in Jesus Christ, and that we commit all of our lives to follow him as Lord and God.